Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1, let's read verse 11 through 13. Speaking of the priest Zacharias, "And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." Heavenly Father, help us as we study your word. Help us to understand it. Please speak to our hearts. And as Paul said, that you'd enlighten the eyes of our understanding. Help us to see what the text says, and help us to see Jesus Christ, the one that all these years I've tried to teach about. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So these last few weeks, if you've listened, you know the backstory here. We're talking about the birth of John the Baptist. And I don't want to rehash that again, but Zacharias and his wife, they wanted a son, and they didn't have any children. They wanted a son. And as the priest is doing his duties in the temple, an angel appears and says, "Hey, God's heard your prayer. God's going to answer your prayer. And oh, by the way, you'll name your son John." And in verse 14 and 15, "And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." And we've gone over that. But in verse 18, Zacharias says to the angel, "I'm struggling to believe all of what you said. I mean, I know I prayed, and I know this miraculous angel shows up in the house of God, but how will I know that what you say is true? Because I'm old, my wife's old, we're too old to have a kid. How is it that we're sure that we're going to have a son?" And in verse 19 and 20, "The angel answered him and said, I'm Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and I'm sent to speak to you." God sent me from heaven to speak to you and to show you these glad tidings. But because you don't believe, or you're unsure or whatever, I'll give you a sign. You're going to be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because you believe not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their due season. And as we'll see next week, we may get to it today, but as we'll see next week, and I expect to finish this chapter, Luke chapter 1, next week, we'll see that what the angel said was true, that they did have a son, and many would rejoice at his birth, and the whole nine yards, all of these things came to pass. I want to take a short look at this angel, this archangel or whatever. He says, I'm Gabriel, and I stand before God. And angel Gabriel is the one that appeared to Mary. But there's another angel that is mentioned by name. In Daniel chapter 10, then he said, Knowest thou therefore I come unto thee, or do you know why I came to you, Daniel? Because he had spent time telling him, and now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. This is the Persian Empire. And we know from history that after the Persian Empire, the Greece or Grecian Empire arose. We understand Alexander the Great and etc. In chapter 10 and chapter 11 in particular, goes into detail ahead of time, hundreds of years ahead of time, what would happen in history or throughout history. But again, Daniel was told before it happened. But he says, I will show you that which is noted in the scripture of truth. In other words, I'm going to show you from the Bible. But he said, and this is the angel speaking, there is none that holds with me or stands with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Michael the archangel, I suppose whatever an archangel is, I'm not sure. But there's Michael and Gabriel. These are named angels in the Word of God. Okay, fine, we looked at the angels. But this sign that Gabriel gave to Zacharias, oh, you don't quite believe me? Well, guess what? Going to be 9 months before you can talk again. You're going to be speechless until these things are fulfilled. I believe that that is a picture of what happened. We understand that John the Baptist, we read about him in the New Testament, but he's really an Old Testament prophet. As Malachi said in chapter 3 and chapter 4, that John, when he began to preach, he would be like Moses saying, hey, let's get back to the Word of God, and like Elijah. And as we read, the prophecies of Malachi were fulfilled. But, and again, we're in Luke, it's the New Testament, but John, he summed up and reiterated what have you, everything in the Old Testament, everything the Old Testament said about the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. That's what John was about. That's who his message was about. That in Malachi chapter 3, that he would announce and go before and prepare the hearts of the people so that they could receive Jesus when he appeared on the scene. And it's told in other places, but my mind goes back to Matthew chapter 3. And we went over that before and probably will hit it again. But it tells the story of he was out there at the River Jordan baptizing. And he said, hey, the Messiah's coming. And one day Jesus showed up and he said, "Hey, that's him. That's him. That's him. That's the Son of God. That's the one the Old Testament has been saying and prophesying and showing symbol and what have you for all those thousands of years." The Old Testament said, "Hey, this is the guy." And oh, by the way, hey guys, Jesus, he's the one. He's the Messiah. I have said, and I'll say again, that when you're reading the Old Testament, all that stuff is great. But when you get to the book of Matthew, it's like an explosion of light. It's like an explosion. Hey, here he is. He's the King of Israel, coming into his kingdom and coming to take account. God from heaven invades earth, and the King of Israel comes on the scene. Okay, we know all of that. I've certainly preached it enough, and others have preached, you've heard. You understand the timeline of the Old Testament and then the New. But let's get back to this angel. He says, "Hey, Zacharias, you're going to have a son, but you don't quite believe. Well, guess what? I'm going to give you a sign just like you asked. You're not going to be able to say one word until your son is born. I'm going to take that idea and teach some history. The Old Testament, the 39 books, if you ask a Jewish man, he'll say, no, it's 22 books, I think, is the count. They kind of lump Kings together. They'll lump Chronicles together, what have you. They'll lump books together that we have separated. It's the same books. You can read of Micah, you can read of Samuel, you can read of David and Moses. It's the same text. The one that you might have heard is the Masoretic text. We have the same Bible that they do. We call their part the Old Testament. But there was 400 years between the time that the last prophet stopped. He gave his last prophecy and died, or just stopped, and then later on, years later, died, whatever it was. And I guess I could look it up and find who was the last one. You might say that the last prophet was Malachi. Well, it's the last in our Old Testament. It may not be the last one that actually lived. But the tale was told. Everything that we need to understand to know about Christ from the Old Testament and the promise that he would come, everything was told. Those 39 books are complete. I understand there's the Apocrypha, the Jewish Apocrypha and whatever. I understand there's the Pseudepigrapha, the false writings. But those aren't in the canon. Those are not the written word of God. But whenever the last prophet stopped, it was about 400 years until the New Testament. 400 years until the record picks back up again. There's some evidence that God spoke to people during that time, but there was no prophet. There were events, for sure. There were prayers prayed. There may have been answers to prayer. But there was 400 years of essentially silence from heaven. Because again, everything that needed to be said about Christ had been said. And then God stopped speaking, and they stopped writing, and that was it. For 400 years, give or take. And again, the Old Testament is complete. I can preach every major doctrine and most small doctrines, Christian doctrines, I can preach all of them from the Old Testament. If you want to know that Jesus, he went up on the mountain, and when he was set in Matthew chapter 5, he began to teach the Sermon on the Mount. That event was foretold and shown to us as a prophecy in type when Moses went up on the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. Pick your doctrine, pick your event from the New Testament, and it's shown to us in some form or fashion in the Old. And to me, that's a wonderful thing. It's a glorious thing. But this period of silence, where God stopped prophesying, stopped writing scripture, these 400 years, they're called the intertestamental period. You've got the Old Testament, and then you've got the New Testament. But those 400 years of essentially silence, that's what it's called, the intertestamental period. Now, you may have heard of the book of Maccabees, the first and second or whatever book of Maccabees. The Jews will use these books. And Hanukkah, I believe that's correct, I believe that Hanukkah tells the story that Maccabees tells. And honestly, I've read Maccabees a long time ago, and I don't remember exactly what it's about. But it gives some history. Now again, this is not a Bible book. Some editions of the Bible are printed and they include these, but they're not intended to be equal with Scripture. But again, these things exist. These various books exist. And you can read other sources and whatever, and you can get an understanding of what happened after the prophet stopped, and then God opens again with the New Testament. But this period of silence, and maybe I'm taking a little license, I don't believe so. But when the angel said to Zacharias, hey, you're not going to be able to speak for 9 months, I believe it symbolizes this time between the Old and the New Testaments, where for all intents and purposes, God did not speak. It's a minor point. It's my opinion that it matches up. I believe it's a symbol of that intertestamental period. But let's pick up the narrative, I guess. Our text in Luke, we'll look at verse 21 and maybe a little bit further. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. Remember, they were outside praying and waiting for him. They knew what he was doing. They knew he was presenting incense before the Lord and dropping it on that coal from the brazen altar. And it symbolized worship. It symbolized prayer being lifted to heaven. But he took too long because the angel held him up. And they were out there waiting and whatever, says, well, what's the deal? What happened? Whatever. But he finally, in verse 22, he came out. But it says he could not speak unto them because God had taken away his ability. However that is, I don't know. We read of miracles all through the Old Testament and the New. This little thing the angel did, I guess it's a miracle. But it says that he came out, he couldn't talk, and the people, they figured out or perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. Because it says he beckoned unto them, he waved unto them, and tried to tell them through sign language that he couldn't talk, and it says he remained speechless. But it says in verse 23 that it came to pass that as soon as the days of his administration were accomplished, he went on home. If he had another week on his course, or whatever the case, a few days, whatever, he finished his duties, but he was speechless. And when he finished his course, and we talked about that, it says he departed to his own house. But it says in verse 24 and 25 that after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, just as the angel said. And it says that she hid herself 5 months. She kind of stayed at home for 5 months. Because everybody knew that they didn't have no kids. And she kind of stayed at home inside or whatever for 5 months. And then she came out and everybody says, "Oh, well, what happened to you?" "Well, I'm going to have a kid." And I guess she told the story of the angel or whatever. And, you know, John, he hadn't been able to speak in 5 months so far. But you see, the Bible is true. Every word is true. Jesus, I guess is in Matthew chapter 4, that he went into the wilderness, the desert, what have you, and he didn't eat for 40 days. And then it says the devil came to him to tempt him. And one of the things that he said in answering the devil, he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." You may be listening and you say, "Well, I got this problem and I got that problem, and, you know, they're going to come and take my car or take my kids or whatever. I can't pay the rent," or whatever the problem is. Everybody's got problems, by the way, not just you. Everybody's got one problem or another. Even the rich guy, he drives a Mercedes back and forth, he's got problems too. We've all got troubles of some kind. But you see, the trick is to turn to God and ask God, "Hey, you know my problems, please help me. You know, I really don't like to smoke dope, but I can't seem to knock it," and Fred knocks on the door, and, well, what do you know? I get stoned again. God can set you free. I didn't say you go to a program or go to rehab or nothing like that, or get on the pill or patch. No, none of that. God can set you free from drugs. You got an incurable disease, or maybe one that can be cured, but you don't have no insurance or whatever the case. Turn to God. Bring your problems to Him and see what God can do for you. And oh, as you're doing that, you ought to read the Bible. You ought to find one. Can't find one, ask the pastor down the church down the road. Ask, "Hey, can I have a Bible?" He'll give you one. He might give you two. You ought to read the Bible. Because, as Jesus said, you need to live by every word in that book. Because it's health and life and strength and renewal and any kind of adjective you want. You can find whatever you need in the pages of that book. Jesus will satisfy your soul. well, I don't know how to read, and it's a lot of words, and I don't understand. You know, let's take it simple. Find the book of Psalms. It's about halfway in the middle. Go to the table of contents in the front, find what page, 479 or whatever, and start reading the Psalms. Read one a day. That's not much. Read the Psalms. Read two a day, what have you. You read the Psalms every day for a month or so, and you'll find that God is beginning to put peace in your heart. And things will seem less stressful. And again, during this time, you can ask God, Lord, you know my problems. Please help me. He said in another place, if you draw nigh to me, you come toward me and want to get to know me, get closer to me, and I'll get closer to you. And he can be a comfort in your heart. He can be a light to lighten your path through life. The things that you go through, whatever, God will show you what to do and how to do it. And he'll hold your hand as you're going. God can help you. God can help you. So why don't you turn to him today? Give your heart to Jesus, and he can fix the problems in your life and give you peace and joy and safety and satisfaction and rest in your heart. Trust him today. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's joeykelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.